My name is Alexis Kazik, and I get to share with you this morning. As Pastor and Connie are on their last weekend off, they had the month of July off, and we're going to other churches, TrueBridge churches that we are linked with, stealing ideas for our church. He's going to the churches that are one step ahead of us, in a sense, and just getting ideas for what we can do to better our congregation and church. So I've come to River of Life for about 3.5 years, and my husband is one of the elders, and I am really privileged to be able to speak with you this morning. So I'm just going to open in prayer, and we will get into the word God has. Lord, we just thank you this morning, and I just ask, Lord, that right now you would just fill me with your spirit and let your spirit flow through me, that anything of myself would just fall to the side, and that you would just speak your word clearly, Lord God, of what you have this morning, and encourage the hearts that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I have a message that I think has been really encouraging for myself as preparing, and I hope it is as encouraging to you as you hear it this morning. And it is about, as you're asking each other your childhood dreams, it is about the dreams of our heart. And you could call it the dreams of your heart, you could call it the purpose or your call in life. Whatever you want to call it is what you can call it. I will probably be referring to it much as dreams, and it might just, a different word might fit you of where you're at right now. But we're going to look at the story of Joseph, and as we look at our dreams, and see what we can learn from him this morning, and his story and his life. You can find the story of Joseph in Genesis 37. Because of time, I'm just going to do like an overview of the story. Many of you probably have heard of Joseph. He's one that is talked about a lot in Sunday school, and we've even had plays of Joseph and his colored coat in the high school here in town. And it's a popular story. So with that, Joseph is a son of Jacob, or was a son of Jacob, and he was he had 11 brothers, and his 11 brothers did not care for him because he was favored among the brothers by his father. His father seen him as the favorite. He gave him a beautiful coat full of many colors, and that didn't make his brothers like him anymore. And maybe you can relate to him. Maybe you have someone in your life that for some reason just doesn't seem like they ever care for you, and you don't have a reason, or you can't figure out a reason. It's nothing you can figure out that you've done. Or maybe you're on the other side and you have somebody in your life that for some reason they just, you don't like them. And so we're going to look at Joseph in the story, and we're going to continue to look at his story, but we're going to just look at things that we can relate to in the story. And so Joseph, already not liked by his brothers because his father has decided that he is his favorite, has dreams. He has two dreams, and these dreams don't help him with his brothers, but they're dreams that God has given to him while he was sleeping. And the one dream is when they're out in the fields, and they're binding up grain. And his sheath of grain stood up tall, and his brothers, sheaves of grain, bowed down to him. Well, you know, he's a 17-year-old boy, and he has this dream, and so he goes to his brothers, and he goes, guess what, guys? I had this dream. Tells them about it. Well, they didn't like the dream. I mean, go figure. And so he's, like, standing there, and his brothers are like, oh, my gosh, like, that's going to never come true. Really? That is so stupid. And they just start cutting that dream down. And so then he has another dream, another night, and this dream is he's standing there, and the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down to him. And so he goes and he tells his brothers and his father this time. And again, there's not a great response. Again, they're like, oh, really? I mean, I thought we've talked about this. Who do you think you are anyways? And he gets all these negative comments back once again. And now his father's even, it says, rebukes him. But it does say that his father keeps it in mind. But maybe you, like Joseph, have had dreams in your heart or desires in your heart or giftings that you want to do, and you've had people in your life that are saying, that's never going to happen. Who do you think you are anyways? You're not that smart. That's never going to happen. You don't have the money for that. And you hear all these negative things. Maybe you can relate to Joseph. But that's not the end of the story. So now, Joseph, his brothers are out they're farmers, and they're out tending to the flocks. And his father says, hey, Joseph, go check on your brothers. They've been gone for a while. Go check on them, see how they're doing. So Joseph obeys, and he goes. And his brothers, they see him coming from afar. Hey, guys, this is our chance to get rid of him. Let's kill him. I'm tired of him thinking he's all high and mighty. Let's get rid of him once and for all. And they start plotting and scheming. They do decide that not to kill him. They do decide they don't want their brother's blood on their hands. But they decide to throw him into a pit. And so when he gets there, they throw him into a pit. I'm sure they had all sorts of nice things to say as they were doing this. And then some Egyptians come by and they decide, you know what, let's just sell him. Then his blood's not on our hands, then we don't have to deal with him. So that's what they do, they sell him. They sell him to these Egyptians as a slave. I just couldn't imagine. My own brothers, my own family selling me out. Maybe you've had something like that in your life that's come, where you've been really rejected or really hurt by someone that was supposed to be really close to you, a husband, a wife, a close friend, a brother, a sister, a parent. Maybe you can relate to that feeling that Joseph must have felt being thrown into the pit. Maybe you can relate to that feeling of being sold out. This morning, God wants to stir something within us. Joseph didn't quit. He was sold. He ends up in Potiphar's home. Potiphar, he was a high official of the Pharaoh. It says he was the high captain of the guard. And he's now a slave to this man. Joseph didn't just quit. He did his best. It says he found favor with God. I don't see God just putting a whole bunch of favor on someone who has a bad attitude and isn't going to continue on. But he had faith in God, and he said, no, God, I know this isn't it. I know you still have something for me. And so he continued in his steps of where he was at in life, no matter what it looked like, and he continued on. And it said he found favor with God, but then he found favor with Pharaoh. He must have been doing a pretty good job for Pharaoh, or not Pharaoh, but for Potiphar, to be seeing favor with him. It says that this Potiphar gave Joseph charge of everything. He was over everything he owned. So now, you know, you could say that Joseph's climbing back up the mountain. It's probably starting to look good. And hey, you know what? I could become somebody. Maybe these dreams are going to come true. But then. Ever have a but then in your life? Things are starting to look good. And then something happens. Potiphar's wife starts getting eyes for Joseph. Starts working on him. Hey, you know, Potiphar's given you everything. You know, he wouldn't mind if you had me too. Starts working him over. Joseph, he's an honorable man of God, and he keeps turning her away, but it says day after day after day she comes to him, trying to wear him out. But day after day he keeps his eyes, and he's being honorable, and he's being a man of character. She gets angry, and she says, fine, you know, he's not going to take me out. That's it. And as he's running out, trying to flee the temptation and what she's trying to get him to do, she grabs his cloak. Once he's gone, she starts yelling, and servants come running, and she says, Joseph, he's trying to make a sport of me. I screamed, and he ran off, and she makes a story up. And then Potiphar comes, and she tells Potiphar this story. And next thing Joseph knows is he's being grabbed and he's being thrown in prison. Now Joseph could have said, man, what is going on? What did I do to deserve this? Kendall talked about how bad things happen a couple weeks ago. And he talked about Lot and Joseph standing right in the same spot. Man, thing after thing, I can't catch a break. And all these lies are being told and my reputation is down the drain. Maybe you've been there where you've had betrayal and you've had lies told. Or Joseph could have even looked at it in the sense of he failed. She came to me day after day. I should have known better. I shouldn't have put myself there. And he could have all these would've, could've, should've, these regrets coming at him in his mind. Now, how are these dreams ever going to come true? I mean, look at this mess. How am I going to become somebody for God in prison? And he could have quit there. And he could have just thrown in the towel and said, forget it. This is nuts. But he didn't. Again, it says he found favor with God. And again, it says he found favor with the warden. And next thing you know, it says that Joseph is being granted where he is over the inmates. And then it says that he's responsible for everyone in the prison. I don't think he would have got there with the chip on his shoulder and just given up. He got there because his eyes were still on what God put in his heart. And it was still on the things that he knew God had ahead for him. That this wasn't it. He did not give up. So while he's in prison, he hears of these two people that were workers of Pharaoh that were now in prison. And he hears that they both had a dream one night. Oh, that could really stir something in Joseph. He had a dream once too, you know. Look where he's gotten. But no, his eyes are on the prize. So instead, he sees it as an opportunity to be a vessel for God. And he goes to them and he says, I heard you had these dreams. And they're like, yeah, we had these dreams and no one can interpret them. And he's like, well, my God can. He doesn't say I can. He says, my God can, because his eyes are on God. And he says, well, this is what your dreams mean. And for the baker, it was that he was going to be released from prison. And he was going to be hung. And he was going to be killed. But for the cupbearer, it was that he also was going to be released from prison. But he was going to be restored to his position as cupbearer and be alongside Pharaoh again. And these dreams come to pass, and Joseph says, don't forget me, to the cupbearer. And the cupbearer says, oh, no, I won't. Thanks, Joseph, you've done great, you know. I won't forget you. So he waits anxiously, I'm sure. This is my time. This is how I'm going to get out. And he waits a day, week, month, some more months. Guess what? 2 years. He had to wait. Maybe things don't just seem like you've been waiting forever on these dreams in your life. And the story doesn't end there, and we'll come back to it. But I want to look at some of these things we have seen. We've seen Joseph's roller coaster of life. And if you're like me, you can probably relate to those ups and downs in life because those come and they go. And we have a choice when they come and they go what we're going to do. It doesn't mean it's an end. And today, I believe God wants to stir up those things within us again. He wants to stir up those gifts and those talents and those dreams and those desires within us because he's not done with us. You have breath in your body. God is not done with you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how your finances are. It doesn't matter what life is looking like now or what circumstances are taking place or what the doctors are saying. It doesn't matter because we serve a big God who has put something within you to give. And he is not done with you. And he does not want you to be done with that gift or that dream. Because he has so much more for you. But it's hard sometimes when all these circumstances are taking place and we want to look at them and say, how are we going to get out of this? But we're not supposed to be looking at it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be affected by it, but it doesn't mean that this is where we're supposed to be staring. We got to remember what the prize is that he's put within us and where we're headed. Because that's how we're going to get through. We need to look at what he has put in front of us as a dream and a call in our life. And we need to know that he's going to bring us there because he is faithful. And he will complete what he started. And he put something within us the day he created us. He put a calling. He put a desire. He put a purpose on our life. And he's saying, are you going to do it? It's up to you. He's not going to force us. But he's given us and he will give us everything we need to complete it. So, find me my notes here. I have a story I want to read, and then we're going to go on to another story, and we'll come back to Joseph. Find my story. This is a true story. Some of you may remember this story. Depends on how old you are. But it says, wrong page. This is the end of the story. We went to the beginning. In 1952, young Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island, determined to swim to shore of the mainland California. She had already in the past been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The weather was foggy. The water was chilly. She could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother and her coach kept saying, "You're almost there. Keep going. You can do it." They were in the boat alongside her, and she finally said, "I can't do it." Physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming. She was pulled out of the water, and when she reached the boat, she discovered that she was less than a half a mile away from the shore. At a news conference the next day, she says, "All I could see was fog. I didn't know how close it was. If I could have seen the shore, I'm sure I could have made it." Sometimes that fog, those circumstances in life, they seem so bad. And they make us doubt that we can get there. Sometimes even the things we're hearing from doctors, from friends, from family, they're not encouraging. Sometimes they're pulling us the other way and that fog looks thicker. But God has that vision, and this is what happened. 2 months later, Florence got back in the water to try task once again. This time it was different. She swam from the Catalina Island to the shore of California in a straight path of 26 miles. The same thick fog set in, but Florence made it because she said while she swam, she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. Florence Chadwick became the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, eclipsing the men's records by 2 hours. She didn't lose sight of the shore because she focused on the image in her mind. She knew that that shore was there. Even if she didn't know how far, she knew it was there. And just like her, we know God's put something there, and we can be confident that he's going to get us there. No matter what, if we can't see it right now because of the circumstances, we need to get that picture in our hearts. We need to get that picture in our minds and keep going because he's faithful, and he will get us there. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you." Paul was telling Timothy this right before he goes into telling him how serving Christ isn't always going to be easy. You know, I've been bound, I've been put in prison. But before he's telling him all these things that can happen and to stand firm, he's saying, fan the flame. What does that mean? I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. And at this time in his life, it wasn't a fun job. Prophets gave words from God, many times to leaders or to the churches of either sometimes it was correction, sometimes it was what's to come. But this time, it's not a fun time for Ezekiel because the people are rebellious. Their hearts are hard. Things aren't looking good. The promises of God aren't looking like they can even come to pass because the people aren't willing to change their hearts. Ezekiel's being the one who has to stand up and say these things that aren't fun to the people. It's a hard time in his life. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." The Message Bible says God grabbed me, picked me up, and set me down in this valley. I believe God is trying to grab us this morning. He's trying to grab our attention. And he didn't just say, "Ezekiel, look at these bones." No, he walked with him and he said, "Look at them. Look at these many bones. Look at these things on the ground here. Look at how dry they are." God this morning wants to say to us, River of Life Church, Paul, Kendall, Vera, John, Betty, all of us, look at your dreams. Look at the desires of the heart that God has placed within you. Where are they at? Are we living them fully? Have we given up on them? Do they look dry? Do they look hopeless? Take a look. Take a look inside. Because I'm not done with you. This isn't it. Then he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "O sovereign Lord, you only know." And this morning God's saying, "Dan, can the dreams in your heart live? Jerry, the desires of your heart that are still there, can they happen? I'm not done. Are you? Because I still have a plan for the days of your life. I still want to use you. Is it possible?" And maybe where you're at, you're saying, "Oh, God, I only know. Because right now, things aren't looking good. It doesn't look possible. Look at me. Look at the mess I've made. Look at my physical state. Look at my finances. Whatever it is that's holding you. Maybe there's circumstances in life that are just swallowing you up and they don't look possible. But God's saying, what is God saying? Let's look. Verse 4. He said, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to make flesh come upon. I will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. I looked at the tendons and the flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as they commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet as a vast army. The desires of your heart may look hopeless right now. But God is saying, not done. And I can turn those dry dreams into vast, strong things that happen and move and make a difference. He turns those dry bones into a vast army. I don't know about you, but vast armies sound pretty powerful. I think our dreams inside of us can be pretty powerful if we stand up and believe that they're going to come to pass. But there's a process. And first he says to prophesy. Well, what is prophecy? You can say, well, it's what prophets do. Well, yeah, prophets prophesy. That's kind of their major gifting in their call in life. But you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. Prophecy is a prediction of something to come. And I like this one. It says it's specifically the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. It's declaring the inspiration that God has given us, knowing that he's going to make it come to pass, and knowing it. Well, how do we do that? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We may not see it right now. It may not look possible, but we can prophesy. We can declare it. We can pray in faith for those things to come to pass. And I just want to show you what that looks like. Maybe some of you do this. Maybe some of you have done it in the past. Maybe it just needs to be reminded. But what I'm just going to kind of bring you into my prayer closet. It's not going to be anything long or fancy, but it's just what I do and what God has shown me and taught me through people in my life of how to do this. And so in my prayer closet at home, I start by praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. And that's just simply, it says it's edifying. It's building myself up in what God has given me. And he has given me a dream, and he has given me a desire in my heart. So I just start praying in the Spirit. And then after I do that, I start thanking him. And I say, thank you, God. Thank you for the dreams and the giftings that you've placed in me to make them come to pass. I thank you, God, that you didn't just put them there to have a nice desire, but you put them there because they can happen. And I believe they can happen. And I thank you, Lord, that someday I will be ministering to many, and I will be ministering your word in a way that it pierces the hearts, that causes something to change within people's lives. I thank you, Lord, that I can hear you and that I can be moved by your Spirit. I thank you, God, that you're opening the doors for me, that you're opening the doors of churches and conferences for me to go in and to speak your word. I thank you, God, that you're putting people in my path to make these things come to be. I thank you, you're putting people in my path as mentors and relationships to pull me in the right direction. I thank you, God, that you're giving me faith to move when I'm supposed to move, and you're giving me wisdom to hold back when I need to hold back and wait and be patient. I thank you, God, that you're making the way, that you're making the way for this to happen. I thank you that it's not too late. I haven't screwed it up. I thank you that you are making a way where there is no way. I thank you that every opportunity in my path until then, I am taking. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing me opportunities and that I'm not afraid. I thank you that I don't have to be smart in my mind, but that I can be smart in your Spirit, and you can give me the wisdom that I need. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the trials that have been in my past to get me where I am. I thank you for the trials that are to come, because they're putting something within me. And I thank you, I'm going to get through them because my eyes are on you. And it's just stirring it up. It's just stirring it up. It's nothing fancy. It's not saying, oh, thus says the Lord, is you're going to do this. I mean, there are prophecies like this, but this is the kind of prophecy where we're stirring up the dreams. We're stirring up the bones. You know, there's things that, you know, you can specifically get into, the things that you hear. It's not going to come because you're fancy. Well, I thank you, God, that you're making a way for my finances. That, Lord, you know how it's going to come to play, and you're bringing blessings upon my family. For me, in my life, when I used to dream about being a minister, I didn't have the dream of kids in there. Not that I don't love my kids, not that I didn't want my kids, but it just wasn't a part of the picture I had. So that's something that I've had to say, okay, God, you can still do this. You can still make it work. You can show me how to juggle. You can show me how, maybe it's when they're a little older, I don't know, but you're making the way, and I'm trusting you it's going to come. You know, it's just stirring it up. It's fanning the flame. And when we do that, those circumstances don't look as big anymore. And when we do that, our eyes are on the prize. So when those trials are coming at us, just like Joseph, all these things, he wasn't wavering in what he was doing. He was staying steadfast on God. I'm not saying they didn't hurt him. I'm sure those things were hard. I'm sure the betrayals and the things, it's not that he didn't feel them. I'm sure he felt them. But he knew that it wasn't the end, and it got him through. And God wants to get you through those things that are making you feel like it stopped. He wants to get you through the obstacles and the things in your life that make you think that it's not possible. Because he's there, and he's going to get us through, because it's not an end for us. But if you notice, Ezekiel didn't, it wasn't just, oh, he prophesied it, and all of a sudden there was a vast army. There was a process that took place. There was a coming together of bone to bone. There was tendons pulling over skin. There was a process happening that then they had to stand, and then they formed. Sometimes, or I shouldn't even say sometimes, life is a process of those things coming about. You know, I'm not saying God makes every bad thing happen in your life just to make something good come. But I think he allows things to happen in our life. It says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he maybe allows it, just like Job, he allowed the enemy to go in and cause things to happen in his life. But he's always by our side, and he's always going to get us through. We just got to keep our eyes on him. And in those things, I know for my life, in some of those deep valleys are the best lessons and the things that built major character and major things and major faith within my life. And Joseph, I believe, was building those things that he was going to need so that when those dreams did come true, he was in a spot where he could do it. If you think Joseph, do you think Joseph was ready the time he is 17 and thrown into the pit, if he would have been sold to the Egyptians and brought to Pharaoh and then would have been standing there and it all would have went like this, do you think he would have been in the position to forgive his brothers? Do you think he would have been in the position where he would have had the love and the compassion he had for his brothers, knowing that it wasn't about him? It wasn't that he was somebody great. It was that God was faithful and great to get him through. And he showed him that over and over in his trials. And sometimes we got to grab, when we're going through a hard time, it's like, okay, God, what is it you're trying to get me to see? Not that he's making the thing happen, but he's allowing it. And he's maybe trying to develop something in you that you're going to really need in the future. So it's a process, and we got to take the steps in that process, and we got to just keep prophesying and keeping our eyes on the prize during the process, because it's not too late. It's not too late for any of us. Even if you've given up and it's been years of just saying, you know, this is not going to happen, I'm just going to move on. It doesn't mean that God can't restore that time. He's a God of restoration. And he'll make it come to pass. So, we need to prophesy. We need to keep it in front of us. We need to pray it in faith. Keep our eyes on the prize. Then we need to obey him. Because we can prophesy and dream all we want, but if we're never willing to take the steps of the bones coming together, you know, they had to rattle and they had to come together. If we're never willing to take the steps to get to where God wants us to be, if we just stand there and expect it to just happen, we're never going to get there. Because we have to have faith, and that faith is going to be a lot stronger if we're prophesying, calling it forth. That faith is going to be a lot easier to take that step in faith because our eyes are there and we're confident in what God's put in us. We're certain that he's gonna bring to pass what he started in us. But we do need to take those steps. We need to take them, and we need to take them. We need to get the bones together and together and together. And then, you know, there's going to be the ligaments, and then the skin need to come. And then it may all be looking good, but there's still the breath. You know, it's a process. And we got to keep our eyes on Him through the whole process. And we need to let Him build the things in us that we need built so that we can do it the best we can when the time comes. Another thought. It's easy to do that when we're on the high, you know, when we're climbing up and things are starting to look good too. But it's also an easy time for us to say, oh, we got it from here. It's all looking good, and now we don't need to prophesy. Now we don't need to keep our eyes, because God, I got it. And we can just go on our own now. Well, that's a dangerous place to be too. Because if you're just going on your own, it's easy to get off the road. And we need to keep our eyes on the high when we're on our highs and when we're on our lows. Because when we're up high and we say, oh, we got it from here, we might be grabbing on to the next rock that's loose. You know? Or when we're up high and we think we got it all under control, there might be some decisions we need to make, and now we're making them in our natural mind, and we're making the wrong ones, which are going to make us 5 steps back where it could have been the next one. Joseph had to make some choices. He had to make the choice to interpret those dreams. That, I'm sure, was a sore spot for him. I know it would have been in me. You want me to prophesy? Or you want me to interpret these dreams? Really, God? Because look at, you've made mine come through. I mean, how long have I waited? It's not looking like it's happening any day soon. But you want me to go tell them what their dreams mean? Really? He had to make a choice to put his own feelings aside. And he had to interpret those dreams. Which ended up being the next step for him getting out and getting to the place where he was supposed to be. What would have happened if he would have decided, no, forget it, find someone else to do it? I think God still could have made that dream come to pass, but it would have been probably a whole longer process. So we have our choices, and our choices really kind of determine on how soon we're going to get there. He's waiting for us to get there. He knows exactly when we're going to get there. But it's kind of up to us if we're going to get there, because He's not going to force us there. And it's kind of up to us on when we're going to get there, because we have to choose to bring the bones together. And we need to fight through. And we need to show Him that we're going to be faithful to Him and where we're going to stand. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope delayed makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When we're looking at the fog and we're looking at all the problems, it's really easy to get heart sick. It's really easy to not want to go on. But when we're looking at the prize, no matter the circumstances, no matter the things that are going on, we can feel the tree of life no matter where we're at in our journey, because that hope is there. And it springs. And it brings the excitement. And those are the people that you see walking in the streets, and they're going through tons of things, and you don't know how they're making it through it with a smile on their face. They know where they're going. I can almost guarantee it. They know that there's more ahead. You look at all these people in the Bible, the people that we consider great. Great people that did great things for God. They're the ones that fought through the hard times. Their journeys were not easy. Their journeys were probably the hardest of journeys. But they stayed faithful and they kept their eyes on their prize, and they knew it was for something greater, and they knew it was for something big. And they knew they could not do it without their God. So this morning, I have a little blurb I want to read out of this book before I close. It's by Joel Osteen. It's I Declare. And it's just it's a devotional of just every day reading a declaration of a promise of God that you're just declaring or prophesying, if you will, over your life. And then there's a kind of a little blurb that goes with it. And this is one of those little readings that goes with one of the declarations that I just thought fit really well today and is for each of us, I believe. You can still become everything God created you to be, but you must do your part and move off dead center. You're not too old. You're not too young. You haven't missed your opportunity. The window is still can be opened. The dream is still alive inside. No matter how dead it feels, no matter how hopeless you have felt it's been up till today, it's still there and it's still alive. Now you should rise up in faith and say, this is my time. This is my moment. I'm not settling anymore. This is where I am, but this is not where I'm going to stay. I've let excuses hold me back long enough. But today, I will take the steps of faith to pursue. Today, I will take the opportunities that are before me. Today, I will explore the new hobbies and break bad habits and get rid of the wrong mindsets. I know it's not too late to accomplish everything God has planned and placed in my heart. If you have this kind of attitude, the rest of your life can be the best of your life. And a little later it says, I've learned every setback means you're one step closer to seeing the dreams come to pass. You have to come to closed doors before you get open ones. You may have tried and you may have failed 1,000 times, but you never know that number 1,001 may be the door that swings wide open. Get your fire back. Fan the flame. You may have been through so many disappointments. Things might not be the way you hoped they'd be or the way you thought they'd turn out. But shake off your disappointments. Create that fresh new vision for your life. That's what we need to do today. We need to shake off those disappointments. We need to get our eyes back on the prize or that which Christ has put in our hearts. Those dreams. No desires. Maybe they're giftings that God put in you and something happened and you just gave up on them and you put that gift aside and you haven't touched that gift for years. Maybe God's saying today is the day to take that gift off the shelf and start taking those opportunities and start making these new hobbies and stir them up. Because He put them there, He wants to use them. Now Joseph, like I said, his dreams came true. The Pharaoh had a dream, or had dreams. The cupbearer heard the dreams, remembered Joseph 2 years later, but he remembered them. And Joseph was called. They brought him to Pharaoh. He was able to give the interpretation, which is that there was going to be 7 years of abundance, and then there was going to be 7 years of famine. And because of that interpretation, and they were able to store up those years of abundance so that when the years of famine came, the people were fed and taken care of. And in those years of famine, his brothers show up because they hear that they have the things they need to live. And his brothers show up and they bow down before him asking for mercy. They don't realize it's even Joseph. And because of everything Joseph, I believe, went through, he was able to do what he was called to do. And he was able to even restore that relationship with his family. I mean, he hadn't seen his father and mother for years because of these brothers. But yet, he didn't say, seize them, show them how it felt. He was able to have compassion and he was able to give them what they needed. And this morning, God wants to give us what we need. He wants to breathe that breath of life on those dreams and those gifts. And he wants to restore those dreams back to us. Maybe it's been years. But he wants to say to us this morning, River of Life Church, I'm not done with you yet, and you have something to give. You have something to give for this church body. You have something to give to the people in your workplace. You have something to give to your family. You have something to give to wherever you're at. You specifically are a part. You specifically are a piece to this puzzle. And without you, there's a hole. Now, will you prophesy? Will you believe? Will you have the faith to take the step? It's up to us. So I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. And then afterwards, if you'd like prayer, my husband and I will be up here to minister to you of any need that you may have. I encourage you to go home this week, fan the flame. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for the encouraging message this morning. It was encouraging to me preparing it. I hope it's encouraging for those sitting here. But Lord, I just ask that you would just stir those things within each and every person. Those things that have been left dry. Those desires, those hopes, those gifts, those callings. Just stir them up, Lord. Remind them of them once again. And Lord, if there's been hurts and disappointments and tragedies, things that have happened along the way that are linked to them, I just pray for a healing right now. That those things would no longer be attached as when they're thinking of their dream, that they would think of these bad things. But Lord, that when they think of their dream, they would have hope. I just pray, Lord, that you would just do your work. Breathe your breath. Bring the steps together and remind us this week and this month as we go that you're not done with us and that you have purpose and desires for us that you can make come to pass if we are willing. In Jesus' name, amen.